your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Really excited to have my good friend, Jackson Janiagam. Jackson is the VP and GM of direct-to-consumer brand at Clorox. Have had him on many other shows before. So Jackson, it's great to have you back on Alchemy.
Hey, it's good to be here, man. Although I have to say, it's never as fun as it is when we're at an amazing restaurant in New York. But it's still pretty cool to talk to you.
It's interesting you say that because we're kind of putting the plans in place for bringing back the digital fork.
Okay.
Once we get past COVID, right?
So yeah, of course.
We're on our way. But for everybody who is tuning in right now, Jackson has a killer background from all sorts of different platforms and brands. He was the CMO at Box. He was the head of digital at Chipotle. And now you're over at Clorox and running, the direct-to-consumer brand for Nutranex. So, Jackson, lots of exciting things. I brought you on the show really because you guys are doing such great stuff over at Burt's Bees with launching a CBD line, which obviously is very in tune to what we're working on in the cannabis and CBD world. So, I'd love for you to maybe give us a little bit of insight in, one, how's that launch going? And you're a traditional brand guy. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about how it's different, let's say, from launching a mainstream brand and then launching a mainstream brand with CBD.
Yeah. So I would say the CBD launch, we launched about back in October, Jeff, I think, give or take. And I know we're partnering with you guys on some stuff and it's been awesome. I mean, it's still early, right? We're 2 months in, and as we all know, we're limited in some certain capacities in terms of how we can market and who we can talk to. So it's going to take a little bit more for it to get some reliable data in, but some early signs show some really interesting interests and actions from certain kinds of consumers, and some that we expected, some that we didn't, but it's still pretty small, small sample set. So I think by springtime, we'll have a lot more learnings I can definitely speak to in more detail. But I think very, very early signs of what we expected is we know that there's a whole new audience out there that we haven't been really able to talk to or been able to resonate with. And I think we're able to do it. And I think the beautiful thing is Burt's Bees has such an amazing brand following, right? People love that brand. They love what we stand for. They love how it gives back. I mean, it's just a wonderful brand. So I think there's like a nice combination of a brand that people love and a brand that's doing something that a lot of people are interested in trying out and testing in a way that these other competitors haven't been able to. So I think that's what we're hoping we'll continue to showcase through what we're doing. And the early signs are that brand loyalty to Burt's has really extended into the CBD line, the excitement for it. But the challenges are definitely there, man. I mean, you're right. Like I mentioned, limited marketing opportunities, certain channels we just can't use, right? At least for now. Certain states, and I likely it's changing, right, based on what we've seen in the past election and kind of hopefully with the new administration, but certain states as of today that we cannot send to still products to, but we know we have a lot of interest from people in those states. So, those are things the team has been really great about figuring out, but there have been some just great opportunities to leverage influencers and leverage audiences in a new way and extending to different audiences in ways that we couldn't find otherwise that I think is super exciting. And I think that is the area that combined with hopefully legislature change at a federal level and then opportunities to just get more information, education on CBD from consumers, right? To understand what it is and what it's not. I think the timing of all this is great for us to continue to scale and build it out. But it is not like launching a beverage or a seltzer, even alcohol, which has its own regulations. I'd argue that's much more difficult, but also much more exciting because there's so much more unknowns. Whereas, not the alcohol is not not unpredictable, but like, come on. I mean, we all know like what it's going to take to launch a new alcohol beverage in this space, right? And I think there's a formula there. Whereas here, man, it's all untested ground, which I think is super exciting.
Absolutely. Well, I think, from a timing perspective, you guys kind of nailed it just because, we're looking at the numbers, at least on our side. And, I think if you look at, let's just say the last 2 years alone, we've seen something like a 25% increase in CBD. I think the number was like 15 to 20 million consumers. THC is on a massive trajectory, obviously, because more and more states are legalizing it. CBD, obviously, with the Farm Bill is now available everywhere. So, people are able to buy it online. They're able to buy it in the stores. You have all these celebrities that are starting to come out with products. You know, you've got Martha Stewart, you know, coming out with CBD gummies, and it's, you've seen this massive adoption of the mainstream world happen so quickly that it's just, it's kind of amazing. And, you know, to see CBD being used across so many different products, right? Beauty, health, supplements, like muscle pain, like all of these different things. You know, it's one of the fastest growing consumer groups out there. And I think with what you guys are doing on the mainstream world, like you have this opportunity where a lot of folks have kind of been a little slow to adopt until now, and you kind of have that head start, right? And, you know, what I find it incredible is like, you're not talking about millennials, and you're not talking about just women, you're talking about like parents, grandparents, you know, Gen X, boomers, like everybody is taking part in this kind of, you know, new product craze. And it's kind of fun to watch. You know, we do this every day, but, you know, seeing more and more brands jump in, especially with beverages, with lotions and creams and
functional foods.
It's kind of cool.
I think it's gonna be super exciting, man. And it's a psychographic, right? It's not a demographic, and a psychographic spans everyone, just like you said, right? 80-year-old grandkids with back pain or arthritis or skin issues, you know, a 15-16-year-old or 18-year-old who's, you know, likes the lotion. So like, I just think there's so much here. And then the education, I think education is important, right? Like the difference between CBD and THC and how you should think about it. I think there is still a lot of misinformation out there. And I think that's part of the role that a lot of big brands and established players are, it's our responsibility to help educate people on the differences and what you're going to get and what you're not going to get from each product and ingredient in the form it comes in. So, but yeah, man, I think it's like, have we seen, when's the last time you saw a category like this, a brand new category, maybe plant-based? I would argue that this might be on par with plant-based, right? Plant-based foods and then meat replacements, which is similar, but different in terms of the challenges. And to me, this is exciting, right? You're talking about these two different areas that are so, 10 years ago, these were not on our radar at all. Like, when was the last time you could say a whole new type of product that we would consume was not on our radar at all? It's not like seltzer, right? The big trend of seltzer and carbonated drink. I mean, that's been around, right? Now there's just, you know, various versions of it. CBD, THC products and plant-based products, fascinating to me. So I'm super excited by what we're seeing right
now. I mean, listen, we just had, I think it was two shows ago, we had the Pabst Labs team on. You know, it was an offshoot of Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is a brand that everybody knows for a long time. And they just launched, you know, a Pabst THC seltzer. Like, you know, this is, it's happening. Like this is a movement that is not stopping. It's accelerating quickly. You know, I saw, I don't know, it was over the weekend. I was kind of combing through Instagram and there's Martha Stewart making cookies, and the cookies were cannabis leaf cookies. And she had Snoop in one of the cookies too. And it's just like, it's great to see, because it's like, why were there so many years of this kind of being taboo and like, you know, it's a plant, right? It's like, these are natural occurring ingredients that are really focused on health. So it's kind of extraordinary. And Jackson, you were, you recently were in a really great Ad Age white paper that came out days ago. And the whole focus was, you know, really exploring, you know, why cannabis audiences are that new gateway for growth and big brands. Any maybe insights you could share from maybe that white paper as people are kind of you know, downloading that? Give them a preview.
I mean, from a brand perspective, I just think, you know, one of the comments I made in that white paper was, you know, you have this proliferation of the category, right? Like we've alluded to and explicitly just said, actually. But there's also like, there's so much, man. Like, there's so much misinformation. There's so much confusion, to be honest, because there's so many bad players. And I think there's a great opportunity for big brands to take that kind of mindset. I mean, what is CPGs and brands that we're talking about, like beauty and beverage companies, they do this better than anyone, which is build a brand, tell a story, create amazing packaging, create an amazing ingredient story, and find a way to relate to the consumer at the end of the day, right? It does not matter what they sell. That's what they do, and oftentimes in commodities, right? They do it better than anyone. And I think if you take that and that natural understanding of consumer and building off of insights and data and audiences and how what we know about our consumer, who we're going after, being so focused and targeted, even if it's a broad audience, as we've talked about, and then telling a story and combining it with amazing innovation and packaging and form factor and getting the pricing down because they have the scale. Like, now you have all the best of both worlds in a way that we haven't seen before. So I think it'll balance out all the BS that's out there, the misinformation, the bad players are doing it, unfortunately, just doing it wrong and misleading consumers and overcharging them. And doing it right way to stabilize pricing, to stabilize information, to stabilize claims, to get people in the point where like, okay, I understand what it is and what it's not. I mean, it's such a grab between not only for the brands to learn about tapping into new audiences and maybe even cross-sell and upsell into their other categories in a way that, again, they never had before, but also set a standard of how this category should be talked about and discussed, but not over-engineered either, right? I think that the benefit of these smaller groups, organizations, when doing it right, can help the big brands understand, like a startup mentality, like, well, let's not maybe treat these exactly the same way we'd launch a cookie or a beverage, but let's take the best principles, but do it in a more nimble way that actually speaks in a relevant way to the market. So I truly believe, just like D2C and as a distribution channel has made big brands think about the way they go to market differently and the way they think about customer data differently, I think CBD will be very similar, but maybe in different ways. It'll change the way brands think about things, but yet bring all the great thinking that they have when it comes to launching and building a brand presence and creating interesting categories. So I'm very excited for it. Yeah,
I mean, I think everyone's really excited. And I, you know, when I look back, you know, I jumped into the space literally, you know, a year ago and really knew nothing about, you know, this entire vertical. And, you know, it's beyond fascinating to watch in just a year's time of where we were literally last January and where we are moving into this January. And I think the acceleration of the entire industry was also a culprit of two things, right? You have the election and all of these states really passing, you know, legal marijuana measures. And then you have the pandemic, and the pandemic has created this source of it's craze. You have people who are concerned about health. You have people that really want to try to get ahead of it and have their bodies in optimal immune fashion. And so they're looking into holistic products. CBD obviously is one of the largest, you know, category movers. We're seeing this from a transactional perspective, and it's just, it's fascinating to see. But I think what's even more fascinating is that the mainstream media world, the headlines that are coming across our desk every day are nuts. Like, you know, and I just saw a few this morning, but it was like, you know, something out of the New York Times, the headline was, is marijuana essential like milk or bread? Most states say yes, right? And then wow. New Jersey, you know, legalizing marijuana, it says, hey, this is a no-brainer for coronavirus economic recovery. So, you know, I think you're in a place right now where it's like you get the advantages of being a traditional brand, and then you get these really incredible first mover advantages of moving into a niche that some people haven't explored yet.
Exactly right. I think you summed it up really well, because yes, we have the big brand, we have the scale, we have the research, we have the resources, right? We can afford to test things, and maybe they don't always work right away financially, like not the end of the world. But in my space in particular, being D2C, right, I can get CBD off the ground faster than maybe getting into retail. And I do believe ultimately getting these products in retail stores is probably the best thing that could happen, right? Once people are going back to retail stores like normal, because they will, it might be an omni-channel experience, but they're going to go back to those stores. And having those on the shelves, there's nothing more powerful than that. There's no one that could tell me any differently, right? Like pure play D2C is awesome, but pure play D2C is even better when it can be found in store. It just helps everything. So once you have that ability to get this in stores, it'll be great. But I was able to do it first, right, on D2C for all those reasons you talked about, being nimble, but leveraging what Clorox brings to the market. And I think that's what's going to be super cool about this category, is there's going to be more and more of that. And it'll just be give you access and proof points that retailers should be taking it seriously and should be carrying these product lines. And then once you start seeing it in retail stores, then there's a whole mind shift, right? It doesn't even matter about the legalities of it. There's a mind shift of, if I see it in my local Kroger or Walmart or Costco, that's a different kind of way to think about it. If you think about what happened with the milk alternatives, right? Like when did soy milk and now oat milk and almond milk, you know, that's when it, like, yeah, it was a Starbucks, sure. It was like a little coffee shop. But when it crossed over to mainstream, my opinion is when you saw it at Costco, when you saw it at Kroger, like that's like, this thing is real. And if I look at, again, this has been a common thing. I mean, think about this, Jeff, 25 years ago, we were like a meat, potatoes, milk country. Like that's how we thought of our diet. Probably like a lot of other countries, right? And now look at it, it's like, okay, it's fine if you drink dairy and drink milk. That's all good. But for a lot of people, they can't, don't want to. You have all these other alternatives that are not niche anymore. It's not like you have to go to this random corner store, like 10 miles, 15 miles away from my house. You can find oat milk and almond milk and soy milk and other alternatives anywhere, right? You can find plant-based meat almost anywhere now. Now you're going to be able to find CBD products anywhere. So this is a part of a much bigger trend, I think, of these all natural from nature type led ingredients. That is not to say there's something wrong with the cow or something wrong with milk or meat, but it's to give alternatives and to give complements to those depending on your needs, your dietary restrictions, or whatever you just choose to buy or enjoy. So to me, this is also part of a much, much bigger trend in food, which I am super excited about. And you're right, like the big companies, the big CPGs, big manufacturers are in the best possible position to take advantage of, whether again, it's through acquisition, innovating themselves and extend and to really figure out how deep and how big this could go on a global level, because they have the ultimate reach and distribution to really test and push this out, which will then create opportunities for startups, right? There's a whole domino effect here, which is really interesting.
So Jackson, I want to throw some numbers at you that I just took a look at this morning. You know, we work with MRI, you know, looking at all sorts of data across mainstream. They basically were able to, you know, look at our data, look at their data, and essentially look at people across all different life stages who consume CBD and also cannabis products. And some of these numbers are outstanding. So 61 million consume cannabis or CBD, which is 24% of all U.S. adults, right? They actually already consume it today. 181 million people say that cannabis use has many health benefits, right? So they might not be partaking in it yet, but they say there are health benefits, which is 73% across the entire adult U.S. population. 161 million say that CBD has health and beauty benefits, which is 65% of all adults. And 155 million say cannabis is good for the mind and body.
Wow.
Now, to see those numbers, like today, just it kind of, it's like, you know, head blown, right? It's like mind blown right now. And, you know, we're kind of going out and we're talking to all these traditional brands and all the traditional brands who are not even, they have no CBD products. They don't have any THC products, but they want to target people who are consuming CBD or THC products because it fits, you know, either a category, it's a select audience, but like, you know, there's a lot of spirit and beverage brands that are coming to us and they're saying, hey, we want to target people who are purchasing CBD products, or we want to target people who are, you know, purchasing THC products because we're losing market share to them. Yeah. Like they're switching, right? So people who might be drinking martinis or beers at the end of a workday are switching to an edible or CBD related products. And it's like, that is a huge shift that we're seeing. Even, you know, you come from Boxed, and I feel like that's a really good comparative analysis of like that audience. Like you guys had a lot of snacking on Boxed. So like, you know, targeting people who might be smoking, who, you know what happens when you smoke, like you get hungry, right? Perfect for the munchies. So it's kind of like, I got to tell you, like, I feel like you're in a really good spot. Like I'm in a really good spot. This is a fun market to be in. And I wanted to like ask you, now that you're kind of, you know, you kind of have your leg in both worlds, like as you look forward 5 years from now, like, do you see Clorox maybe thinking about acquisitions or investing more into this space? Is it too early? Like, what do you think, like futuristic?
Yeah. I mean, so I think one, getting to your point, the untapped market, right? The total addressable market is what we know now, but the consideration set of the audience of the, what, 300 plus million just in the US alone is massive, right? There's so many more people to get to. And it is a lifestyle, right? Like as you're, you know, spouting out that, those points, I'm like, I think of it as a lifestyle. This is a whole lifestyle that hasn't really been talked to, right? Like peripherally they've been talked to, but not really. And there are certain choices they're going to make around products and brands, to be quite honest. And it extends to apparel, it extends to everything, right? Travel, right? Like it's so many consequences you can think about, like who is this person and what are they doing? Again, across all ages and locations. So like, I can't agree with your point more. I think that that's a massive opportunity. It's a shift though. That's why I think the opportunity in these other food categories is so interesting. It goes well beyond food and beverage, but it's a shift for a lot of brands. But the ones who figure that out and lean into it, massive potential there.
Yeah.
But to your point, yeah, as far as Clorox and Burt's Bees, I mean, I can't really speak to the future as you know, in the next few years in terms of especially M&A and investing, but I can say that the Burt's Bees test with CBD, everyone's excited about it. I mean, all the way throughout the organization, and we're so thrilled to kind of get it live, and we're so excited to see what happens this coming year. And I think that's going to dictate a lot of like, what else can we do? And I can tell you on the supplement health and wellness side, where I spend a lot of time in general, that's going to be an opportunity for us. Like we think about, what could a CBD brand look like? We already have a name. We already have a lot of research. We have manufacturers we've talked to about that. So like we've already talked about, like, what could that look like? What are the products we launch? I mean, obviously a lot of the learnings from the Burt's Bees launch is going to be informing that. But man, I just think there's a ton of potential for like the Burt's Bees and our supplement brands to really think about where this could go and lean in there. And I'm personally very excited as someone who would definitely be a consumer of it and is excited to see what else is there. And again, I think I'm from an omni-channel standpoint, not just D2C.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other day, I think you know this just from us being friends over the years, but, you know, outside of work, I happen to, you know, be part of an organization called the South Fork Sea Farmers where we grow oysters. And mm-hmm. it's all about keeping the water clean and also, you know, we get to eat them too. but we literally see, you know, millions and millions of oysters a year in partnership with the town. And I'm on the board and, you know, kind of started South Fork Sea Farmers with about, you know, a whole bunch of scientists and educators and I'm on the board with this woman, Irene Tully, who she's been an educator for 35 years on the East End of Long Island. And I knew that the CBD thing was massive when she called me the other day and she's like, hey, I've been listening to Alchemy and, you know, I have muscle pain in my knees and I'm coming to you because you work with such great brands and I really want to start utilizing this for, you know, muscle therapy and pain therapy. And then I have my mom who's also saying, hey, you work with so many of these great clients. There's so much noise out there. I don't know what to buy because it's daunting. And so that's how you know we've hit the threshold of like, this is truly mainstream. It's an older generation that's starting to see this and it's great. You know, this is like, it's a really good sign and a really good signal.
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to see TV commercial. It is going to feel as common as watching a beverage commercial, an automotive commercial, a wireless phone commercial. I truly believe it. And I think my 5-year-old daughter and my 20-month-old daughter, when they grow up to be, you know, not even my age, like 18, 20, like they're going to look back like, what? Just like we look at Prohibition maybe, like, what? It wasn't allowed? Like you couldn't drink?
Okay, no, like,
you couldn't use CBD? You couldn't use THC? Like they're going to think it's so absurd.
So crazy. Well, Jackson, I'm, like I said, really excited for you. And it was great to bring you back on the show. You know, it's been really fun to, I think, watch both of our careers over the years and how we're kind of merging into the same space. So I think before we go, maybe as we're kind of rounding out the year, any plans into 2021, personal or professional, that you are looking forward to?
Yeah.
I mean, hell of a year for us.
Yeah, it has, man. And I think, unfortunately, I think the next couple months still, it's not going to be like, you know, a magic wand, right? January 2nd, right. Nothing happens. Inauguration, I think will be interesting and exciting. But, you know, I think that first few months, especially in a crappy cold winter, I suspect, that'll be tough. But honestly, I would say it's a combining two. You know, as you know, I was in D.C. for a year, moved back to New York after 12 years in New York, went to D.C. for a year, came back in the middle of a quarantine and everyone else was leaving. And so for me personally and professionally, I'm excited to help rebuild New York in a very, very small way that I can contribute, supporting local businesses, supporting local merchants. Like, I'm really excited for that. And I do think the bigger trend of, like, everyone talking about working remote, you know, my team, the way I've managed my team, built my team, Jeff, and I think you're probably very similar, is like, I build teams that work well together and collaborate and work with empathy. So to me, I have kids at home. I don't need kids at work. Like, I don't expect people to be in the office at certain times or even in the office at all if they get work done at a high level. And I've always thought that pre-COVID. And so I think this whole shift of like, everyone can work from home, you know, until July, I think is absurd. Like, we should have been already there, like with technology, like people should have been able to work on their own terms and get shit done. I just, that's what I believe. And I think I'm hopeful that this weird backlash of like, oh, we're not going back to an office. Like, it's just like the whole cashless discussion. I think the big trend will be, there'll be a nice balance and the work from home thing will be more hopefully mainstream, but people are going to want to work in office. Nothing replaces that, in my opinion, ever. Like, nothing will ever replace that, at least in my lifetime, from that creativity, that chemistry you have with people. So I think come hopefully summertime when things are somewhat back to normal, is my hope, that you'll see a lot more people going into an office or shared working spaces, wanting that chemistry, wanting that networking, wanting to get connected to people, especially in cities like Miami, Chicago, New York, LA. But hopefully people will be able to do it on their own terms in this 9-to-5 thing, unless you're in certain industries like Wall Street or in law or in education, where you have to be there at a certain time. The rest of us are like, let's get away from these antiquated ideas of like 8:30 to 5:30 in an office 5 days a week. No, that's not how the world works, and it's not how it's going to work anymore. So that's what I'm very excited about. It's a big shift, I think, coming to the way we work and the way we think about work and expectations of people.
I hear you. Awesome. Well, Jackson, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you,
Happy
brother.
Holidays. Happy New Year. And here's to a great 2021.
100%, man. Be healthy, and thank you as always, Jeff. Appreciate it. Happy holidays, brother.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in, and if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.